This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Investigating the mysterious disappearances of his teenage friends, Ben Randall uncovers a human trafficking crisis. His film, Sisters for Sale, is set to be screened at this year's Freedom Film Festival and explores the complex realities of the global human trafficking crisis. And Ben joins me now to share more. Welcome, Ben. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Juliet.
It's a pleasure. So, Ben, I know this is a very deeply personal story for you.
It is. I started this work after some of my friends were kidnapped from northern Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so maybe you can just share, you know, what were you doing in Vietnam? How did you meet them? You know, who are the protagonists in this film?
So I originally spent 3 months teaching English in Sapa in northern Vietnam and got to know quite a few of the local people there, including a group of young women who would come and sell handicrafts on the street outside outside the place I was living. Mm-hmm. And within the next 2 years after I left, Sapa, five of those girls were actually kidnapped in separate incidents.
And how did you know that that was what happened, that they were kidnapped?
So some of those other girls actually messaged me. We'd stayed in touch on social media, and some of the girls had messaged me to tell me that their friends had been kidnapped, or our friends had been kidnapped.
So that triggered you to go and investigate, right, and find out what exactly happened, how... I mean, tell me about that. You know, when you found out that they were kidnapped, what did you do next?
So I set up the Human Earth Project with the intention of going back to do whatever I possibly could to try to find and help my friends, which seemed like an impossible mission at the time, and to raise awareness of the global human trafficking crisis.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you go about doing it? You know, I mean, like you said, you know, it seems almost an impossible task. And so how did you actually just get to it and do it?
Well, the only hope at the time was to try to identify the traffickers and try to find out where the girls had been sold, which was exactly as impossible as it sounds. But in fact, I got lucky. And while I was in Vietnam investigating her disappearance, one of the girls was able to get a phone and contact her family from China for the first time in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So the protagonists, they are Mai and Pang, correct?
Mai and Pang, yes.
Mai and Pang, sorry. And... I mean, tell me about that. You know, once you managed to get in contact, you know, how did you go to China? Did you, you know, how did they come back? What was the story behind it?
Well, it was still a very long investigation even after we had that phone number, because these girls, they had no idea where they were in China. Mm-hmm. They were very young women who'd never been to school, didn't know the world outside of Sapa, and were lost. You know, by that time they could speak a little Chinese, but they couldn't read or write anything. Mm-hmm. And had no idea where they were. So it took 5 months in total to narrow down their locations and finally meet them in China. And they were lucky in the sense that they'd been sold as brides. They'd been forced into marriage rather than prostitution, which happens to a lot of young women. But by the time I found them, they had a child each. Oh, and so it's a Chinese child with a Chinese father. And the girls themselves had no legal status in China, obviously. So they were essentially forced to choose between remaining in this horrible situation in China for the sake of their child, or leaving their child behind and going home to their family in Vietnam, which is obviously a terrible decision for any mother to make. And they were still teenagers at the time.
Very young, right? They were only about 14 when they were kidnapped?
They're 15, 16 when they're kidnapped, yeah.
So investigating this, you know, doing all of that, I know that members of the community were consulted. I'm sure that was something that was very important for you to do, you know, when making this into a film.
Yeah, I was working closely with the community, and I mean with my friends, because the other girls there remaining in Sapa were my friends and Sapa was my home, so yeah.
I can imagine that there is an element of danger in this as well. I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, you're investigating something that is a criminal activity, and we know that they are not they're not the kindest people, and they're not going to hesitate to harm you in any, I'm assuming they're not going to hesitate to harm you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely put ourselves in dangerous situations at times, which maybe wasn't the smartest thing to do. I mean, the traffickers are highly active in that area. Mm-hmm. They're obviously much more concerned about money than morals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was a very real risk.
Okay. And I mean, how did you face that? I mean, was there any sort of, did you come face to face with them? You know, was there any personal danger that you faced? That
there were a couple of times where we were at especially high risk, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we were fortunate. I mean, nothing happened.
This is a very complex social issue, right? So how do you kind of balance that with telling a compelling narrative as well? You know, something that I imagine is not very easy to do.
This is actually one of the main focuses of the story, is often when you hear about human trafficking in the media, it's very simplified. Mm. It's kind of cut down to a very black and white issue where there's bad guys and there's victims. Mm-hmm. Whereas in reality, it's not really like that at all. The closer you get to it, the more complex it becomes. And I really wanted to show that in the film, mm-hmm. and to give people a lot. There's a lot to think about, and there's a lot of little issues all tied in together. Mm-hmm. And so the film is really, there's plenty of food for thought in there.
Okay. All right. And it took you about 5 months, you said, that was the investigation, or was that the...
It took 5 months to find and to meet with the girls. Mm-hmm. And then it took much longer, actually, for them to make their decisions of what they were going to do, mm-hmm.
Right.
in relation to their child or to going home.
Right.
For one of the girls, it took her 12 months to make that decision.
Okay. All right. All right. We have to watch the film to find out what happened, of course. So, you know, from all of this, you know, what were some of your greatest takeaways, or, you know, what were some of the things that surprised you the most, in, you know, throughout this whole process?
Well, I actually approached this issue in the beginning, not knowing much more about human trafficking than your average person. Mm-hmm. And I was really sort of fascinated and amazed by how just incredibly complex it is, and how it ties into so many other issues. I mean, ultimately, I came in thinking it was human trafficking. Mm. Ultimately, a lot of it was, you know, it's women's rights, it's education issues, it's
poverty,
absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that you had an Indiegogo going to fund this, and I mean, now you've made the film and you're traveling the world, am I correct, to screen this film as well?
Yeah, we've had screenings around the world, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's been very well received so far. We've
wonderful.
Only screened so far in two competitive festivals, and we've won awards at both of them.
Congratulations.
Which is amazing, and I'm now... adapting the same story as a book. Actually, there's been interest for people want to know more about the story.
Great. Wonderful. So, I mean, and that is actually what I wanted to ask, you know, what do you hope will come of all of this? You know, it's a lot of hard work, but what do you hope will come of it, especially for the girls involved and for the whole, you know, in terms of the human trafficking crisis?
What we really need to focus on is prevention. Mm-hmm. And for that to happen, we really need to raise awareness. I mean, education is the first step, mm-hmm. For everybody involved. So that's the purpose of this film. I feel like, you know, people are now aware that human trafficking exists, but they don't really know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that with this film, we really want to show people, you know, okay, this is what human trafficking really is. You know, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because I think the first step to solving any problem is understanding it.
Sure. Okay. All right. So Sisters for Sale is set to be screened this Wednesday,
yes.
At 8 p.m. at the Freedom Film Festival, of course. And entry to all events is strictly via a pass. And for more information, you can head to freedomfilm.my or head to their Facebook page at facebook.com/freedomfilmfest. And, you know, if people would like to follow you or, you know, to keep in touch with any updates about this story, you know, how can we best do that?
At sistersforsale.com.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking to Ben Randall. He's the film director of Sisters for Sale, which is set to be screened at this year's Freedom Film Festival. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.